preparing, and the one thing that it had in there was something, if only. You ever have if only moments? If only. Wouldn't it be nice if I had a bigger house? You know, something, I don't know, like this. Anybody recognise it? Balmoral, yeah. It's a bit small, though. Maybe, I don't know, that one would do. Apparently there's 365 rooms, I don't know. Bedrooms or whatever. Or maybe having a bigger house is all one I could. But maybe, if only, I had a flash car. Ooh, Maserati. That's all I know. That's it. A metal box with wheels. Yes. Or even, perhaps, even cooler still would be to have a slightly older car that was really smart. Like, I don't know, that one. Maybe the suit as well, and the gun, and the slightly annoyed look on his face as well. It's like, what is he in a bad mood about there? He's got this lovely car. It made me think about a couple of things. It made me think about who owns what. Because if you have a big house and you have a big car, the question I come to is something that even would slow down even James Bond. Even James Bond would be slowed down by this one thing, his nemesis. It's not an evil villain with a laser. Okay? Or a giant octopus thing that comes up out of the sea, or all the other weird special effects and things. It's something a little more mundane. Something that we probably get slowed down by as well. It's a width restriction. I was waiting for quite a long time. I think it was nearly 5 minutes as somebody with this enormous car, you couldn't even see the top of the thing, it was just massive, was going through a width restriction, and they took nearly 5 minutes to get through. It probably wasn't, it just felt that way. And the ironic thing was on the back of it said Mini. Irony, it's not lost. Yeah, even as a width restriction would slow down James Bond, I think. He'd probably do something very clever with it and do something. But, you know, it made me wonder, as this person was going through the width restriction, who owns what? Do you own the car, or are you going through so gingerly, so tentatively, that it owns you? Are you actually its slave? And that was the question that came to my mind at that particular point. Betty, would you be kind enough to come and do the reading? Thank you so much for that. And thank you for coping with all those various ites along the way.
I've had
I thought I'd give you the reading early enough to practice, I thought. But yeah, it's quite a thing. Yes. Of course, the context of this is the burning bush. And Moses goes out with the sheep, takes them over to Sinai, and notices this fire. Whoops, I'm running ahead of myself. I was just going to take a little look, first of all, at this one word. The word, we're looking at the liberating God. And I looked up the word liberation, and you probably might be able to see some of it, and then again you might not. My apologies, I should have made it a bit bigger, shouldn't I? Release, discharge, salvation, rescue, relief, untying, emancipation, and... it's very, very pale there. It's grey. It says, rare use, disenthrallment. Yeah, good word. If you get words with friends and you get enough letters to come up with disenthrallment, I think about you'd be on a winner. Disenthrallment. Well, I think we know what we mean when we talk about being enthralled. You might be watching the TV and it might be the fantastic nature program and you might be enthralled with that, or you might be watching your daughter or your granddaughter dancing a ballet or tap or whatever she might be doing on stage and be completely enthralled and captivated. And that's a kind of the good side of it. But the original meaning of the word to enthrall, it was to make a slave. In fact, so much so that it wasn't just physically making you a slave, but mentally as well. Completely enthralled. And in that passage, the Egyptians have been oppressing the Israelites for 400 years. 400 years to become a slave up there as much as with your body. And so I quite like that word, disenthrallment, because it means they're being taken out of that and not just being released in their bodies from being enslaved by the Egyptians, but they're being released in their mind as well. Of course, I looked up the usual thing. I did the usual thing that I will always do when I've got something to study. I'll click on Google and off we go. And so the word liberty, I was thinking about what it means about liberty. Famous guy, Patrick Henry, came up with this line, give me liberty or give me death, at the Virginia Assembly way back in the day, 1773, if I read that correctly. And of course, that led to the American Revolution and America being as it is. So it's all his fault. Give me liberty or give me death. Quite extreme, really. I suppose the alternative is even more extreme. Life and liberty seem to kind of go together, don't they? Somebody else who we might recognise. Speaking to a crowd and arguing for liberty. Someone else, it's not an all-boys adventure, this one. This is somebody else. Anybody recognise her? Emmeline Pankhurst, yes. And I didn't realise, until you actually go and actually spend a bit of time looking at what they went through to get women the vote, you know, just fully appreciate how much she went through, and her movement went through, and the imprisonment, and it was really horrific. Someone else who we might recognise, Nelson Mandela. And somebody from the world of Hollywood, a scary actor wearing blue makeup on his face, crying out for freedom. Yes. I think when they first showed Braveheart up in Scotland, people were coming out of the cinema shouting, freedom! It's just like, okay, now is not a good time to be English up there. Yes, I think actually he was playing with his daughter. She had her makeup set and, you know, it wasn't really supposed to be all this. No, it was seriously, it was about freedom. And people hold to freedom like that we hold to life. The thing about this is that the good Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. And in that reading, God had heard the cry of the people of Israel. He had heard them crying out. It wasn't a demand. It was begging, please, God, release us. And so the freedom campaigns that we've seen in more recent history and in further history are about people either fighting for their freedom and taking it or demanding it, and the weight of opinion being swayed. At the burning bush, Moses has gone out with the sheep. Let's go back to the story. He's there. There's this bush burning on the side of the mountain. Not unusual. It's a hot place, very dry, things catch fire. And as he looked at this fire and he saw that the bush was not getting burned up. Now use your senses. How do you know that there's a fire? If you close your eyes, what tells you? What you can hear. If there's a fire, what can you smell? You can almost taste it sometimes. And what can you see? Of course, there the fire really is burning up the wood. You can see the fire, you can hear the fire, you can smell it, you know it's a fire. And then you see a bush on fire and it's not getting burned up. You're not hearing that crackling sound, you're not smelling the smoke. You'd want to go and have a look. And then we come to this part. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. This is what God said just before he gave that message to Moses that Betty just read to us. The question I have is why? Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. No, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. It's God speaking. The reason why is you take your shoes off. But why? For you are standing on holy ground. God was present in that place. He was present in the burning bush. He was present on the land, on the ground around it. He was there. And he wants Moses to take off his sandals. Doesn't say anything about socks, hadn't been invented yet. Why? I would argue he wanted to be in contact with Moses. The sandals, the shoes, just get in the way. Take off your shoes. And we are then in contact with each other. And as a result of that, it's that intimacy that God desires to have with his people. Whether it's through your feet, through your hands, through your eyes, in whatever way. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. You're in my presence, says God. Touch me. Be connected with me. Then God gives Moses his mission. He's to go to Egypt, but it's God who will do the liberating. And so off he sets. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He goes to Pharaoh, says, Pharaoh, can set my people free? And Pharaoh says, yeah, okay. And off you go, have a load of things and take... No, it wasn't like that. We know that. And it's not until all those plagues come and eventually, after the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh lets them go. But not for long. He soon changes his mind, as we know, and hunts them down. Now, throughout all of this, when we go back to that scripture, keep thinking about what is it that... if God wanted to do this, he could have just gone down and just wiped out the Egyptian army and just taken them out. He did it in that particular way. Why? I don't know. God knows. But he did it to make sure that his people, having been set free, came out of Egypt and were on their way towards Canaan. And they were really pleased. Until something went slightly wrong. And they arrived at Meribah, the oasis, I think. I can't remember. And the waters were bitter. And they complained. You've brought us to this oasis and the water's bitter. We can't drink it. And so Moses puts his staff in and it's pure and the water is clean. And they complain and they complain and they complain. And all the time it's, oh, back in Egypt we did this. Back in the day we did that. They hadn't got the slave mentality out of their head. They'd been physically set free, but they hadn't got it inside there because it wasn't in there. That burning bush again. And in your booklets, when you're looking at this in your house groups, assuming you are, there's this scripture, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I always think it always makes me smile a little bit when I read, take my yoke upon you. Here's Jesus, who's a carpenter by trade, who I dare say at some stage in the past would say, take this, try this yoke on your oxen. At some stage, I'm sure he would have made a yoke, possibly more than one. One of the things that he would have done. Take my yoke upon you. Now, of course, a yoke was something that wasn't, it was like a cross piece. It was the shadow of the cross. It even creeps into this. It's a cross piece. But it's not made for one. It's made for two. And it's made for two beasts of burden. And they work together as a team. And every step the one takes, so does the other. And you would take two oxen and you would put them together. And one of them was the experienced one. And one of them was the newbie. And they would learn from the other. But it's all about resting and carrying burdens. The burden I give you is light. Now, we all have burdens. Some of them feel very heavy sometimes, and that's when we try and carry them on our own. And some of them don't seem quite so bad. But when we take whatever our burdens are to Jesus, he will carry them. He will take the weight of those and he will walk with us. Back to liberation and slavery. Are your burdens enslaving you? Or are riches enslaving you? Questions that you need to ponder, that we need to ponder, I need to ponder. Do I let the way things happen affect me, and do they put a burden on me, and do I allow them to enslave me without thinking about them instead of focusing on Jesus? I found this quote. I don't know who Robert Frost is, but I quite like the quote. You have freedom when you're easy in your harness. may be something that he's borrowed from Jesus' words. So what do you need to be liberated from? And will you allow God to liberate you? And sometimes we are enslaved or enthralled with things that might be to do with church. And so if we look back to the great Welsh revival, fantastic Tabernacle Baptist Church in Newbridge, 2,500 people would be seated, and if you didn't get there 3 hours early, you wouldn't get a seat. And that was one chapel, and that was going on throughout Wales. Fantastic. There's now, 20 people-ish? And it can be very easy to look back to the great victories of the past and actually effectively to enslave ourselves. Oh, if only we had done things like that. If only we did the services like we did 100 years ago. Well, you know, human beings have stayed the same. Everything else has changed. We don't need to change the gospel. We preach the gospel. But sometimes the way we do things, we just need to actually reflect who we are now. What do you need to be liberated from? Will you allow God to liberate you? It's a quote from Paul in his letter to the Galatians. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, which we all have. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We've been called to live in freedom. We're not called to be slaves, to be enthralled by our sinful nature, by our desire for things, by the circumstances that we live in. However harsh, however tough, however good, however blessed, whatever those situations are, we've been called to live in freedom. So if the sun sets you free, you are truly free.
Can I just share something? I've been sitting there thinking, I really should get up and say this. And I hate speaking up front, so bear with me. But last night I sat and I watched the DVD of The Shack, which I don't know if anyone's watched it or read it. But I was very, very sceptical. I knew about the book. People had said it was fantastic and wonderful. And I thought, that's great, but this is so not for me. But last night I found myself with a couple of quiet hours and I thought I'll just sit and watch this. And there was quite a lot really struck me, but there was one thing that really ties in with this morning. And if anyone knows it, I won't try and explain the story, but someone's in a boat, he's speaking with Jesus and Jesus challenges him to go out onto the lake in a boat. And he's sitting in his boat and Jesus walks to him on the water and encourages him to get out of the boat. And he won't get out of the boat. And as he sits there, cracks appear in the boat and dirty, filthy water starts to leak into the boat. And I've always thought about the thing about step out of the boat is about getting out of your comfort zone and getting out and doing something different, and like many people, I think that's fine, I'll just stay in the boat. But I realised, I saw it very differently last night, that actually what holds us in the boat is actually the things we're holding on to and we can't release, and that we're basically just choosing to sit in filthy, dirty water. And he steps out of the boat, and it is a beautiful picture of the walking on the water. And I would encourage you to watch it, even if, like me, you think it's not for you. But I think what I'm trying to say is don't let the things that hold you keep you in that boat.
anybody wants to see the CD, we bought one deliberately and don't have other people.
Okay, that's George just saying that he's got a CD if you want to watch it. I know.
DVD,
sorry. Okay. Anyone else? We'll just carry on waiting. See what else God says.
I just wanted to share that I think yesterday when we were praying in the prayer tent in the morning, and the cross was there, and there was a post-it note, and you could write down what was burdening you on those post-it notes and stick it on the cross, give it to God. And I found that really liberating, that I put down what was really burdening me and has been burdening me for some time. And some of you might know what those things are and some won't. But those things haven't gone away, but I've given them to God, and I've really felt that he wanted me to say to you that write your burdens on a post-it note. Do something with them and then give them to him. Don't carry them with you from day to day, but give them to him. Let him be with you dealing with it as you go through life.
After listening to what Kathy said, I remembered the verse, I think it's Galatians, where it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has made us free." It's past tense. And I also thought, I may have seen a picture of it or heard about it, that when a tiger or some animal like that has been held in captivity in a cage, what they do is walk up and down inside that cage for several paces. But when they're let out, they're free, but they still carry on walking up and down as if they were still in the confines of the cage. And I look at me, as well as others that it might refer to, that sometimes we can be like that. We have been set free, but we need to walk in the freedom with which Christ has made us free. And I think perhaps I don't, and maybe many others don't, but we won't actually taste of that freedom until we actually step out.
Father, thank you for all that you have spoken to us about this morning. Help us to get out of that dirty water and to feel free and liberated to follow you today. Whatever cage has held us, we ask that you would take that away. And instead of being like that tiger that walks up and down, that you would set us free to skip and to run and to chase in the open. I'm going to say, Father, I give you, and then you can maybe in your heart or in your head say what it is that you want to give him. Father, I give you. And whenever we give God anything, he would love to give us back something that's going to bless us and give us his peace. So we've given him the things that hold us. Father, will you replace that, Lord, with whatever you would want to give us today? We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we want to give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Teresa, just before we do, I think there's somebody else who wants to share something. Somebody's someone who God is speaking to. Okay. And I just pray that, that God will just fill them with courage to stand up and share whatever it is that God's sharing with them.
On Friday evening, we had a very special time of prayer in the prayer tent with our frogs, who, for anyone who doesn't know, are the young people, the younger ones, who are fully reliant on God. And as they came into the prayer tent, we prayed some prayers, but we also said that prayer is not just speaking out words, but it's actually just being in God's presence. So maybe we also need to take some time to just be in God's presence and to know the liberation that comes from just sitting with him, not having to say anything, but knowing that freedom of being accepted in his sight. I'm going to pray some prayers now specifically about those who we support in mission, those people who have gone to take that message of liberation and freedom to the wider world. And I'll also allow a little bit of time as well for you to pray in your own head for people that you support, and then also for people that might need prayer for healing. So let's come before the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who wants each one to be free, free to be the people that you've created us to be. Father, we thank you that each one is unique and special in your sight. We don't have to be moulded into the shape of anybody else, but that you have a space and a place for each one of us. Father, we thank you for those who have been particularly called by you to go to a different part of the world to speak your words of life and love. And we pray now, Lord, for those that we particularly support in this church. Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Baptist Missionary Society. And we thank you for Dave and Michelle Mahon and their three children, Jonathan, Ruth, and Phoebe. Lord, we remember them especially this morning as they are there in Iquitos, in Peru. Lord, they've recently moved there in the last 2 weeks to begin their ministry in the Theological College, training pastors. Michelle has emailed and said that it's particularly hot, and the children in particular are finding that difficult with Ruth getting heat rash. So we just think of them, Lord, adjusting to that changing temperature. But we thank you for the joy that they've been experiencing in being in Peru. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to equip them to serve you there. Thank you for the way in which the children have been witnessing of you, Lord, just by being who they are and in learning Spanish and chatting to people. So, Father, please help them to thrive in that place, we pray. Then, Father, we remember Christophe and Catherine Sauvage in M in France, and Isabel, Naomi and Laura. Thank you for this family, Lord, and thank you for the ministry of that church at M and for the way in which that church is being established in a new building. Lord, we give you thanks for that. And we pray for the continued finances for that church to be renovated. Thank you, Lord, for the outreach amongst unsaved people and how they've said recently they had 50 meeting in a service. Lord, thank you for Christoph's particular ministry amongst the Muslim people in that area. And Lord, we pray particularly that the things that hold back and bind those in Islam would be broken, and that we would see a real harvest in France of people coming to know you as the God who brings freedom. And then, Father, we think of Jackie in Turkey, and thank you for her particular ministry of meeting with women, of sharing your word through the Bible and also through a DVD, of going to people's homes, sharing a cup of tea, listening to their stories and talking about you. Thank you, Lord, as she goes from Adana down to Antakya, that she has people she knows in both places, and we pray for safety as she travels. We pray, Lord, as she comes back here over Easter, that she would be refreshed and would be rested. And, Lord, continue to guide her as to how she should serve you in the future. Father, we thank you for all of these that we've mentioned. And we just take a moment now to think of others that we support who are serving you around the world. And Father, we praise you too that there are people willing to come to us from other parts of the world. Thank you for those that come to serve with the London City Mission and other organisations, reaching out to those of us that live here. And we pray a blessing today on Johannes, as she has come from Germany to serve us here and with Cribs. Father, may she be blessed in all that she does with us. And finally, Father, we just want to bring to you those people who we know are struggling with life at the moment. It's not possible to mention everyone, but we do want to remember Julie Feeney and also Clara at the moment, who's unable to get out. Father, there will be others, and we just lift them up to you in the quietness of our hearts. People that need to know the liberating touch of healing and of your love today. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers and you are not slow in answering. Thank you, Lord. Amen.